Hi, everybody. I'm Mike Hancock, the chairman of the Circle of Excellence Group of Companies, and welcome to today's Global Intelligence Update. We are going to be talking about how to help and assist different people differently. So let me just get the presentation ready for you for today. And I thought I'd start with something controversial. I've got a few controversial things in this. So here they come for you. And as it loads, you will see we're all about helping different people differently. And because the world is full of different people. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to today give you a bit of a snapshot overall of how to understand and how to recognize different personalities very, very quickly. Now, if you look at this screen, I know having a photo of Donald Trump there is going to trigger some of you. Get over it. I put a photo of Jacinda Ardern up there. She triggers me. I'm over it. So we're all in the same boat there. So, but here we have four country leaders who are very, very different types of people. You know, Trump, Boris Johnson, Merkel, and Jacinda Ardern. So as we get into this, you're going to understand a little bit more about this and how it's going to add value to you and your business also. Feel free to chuck any questions that you'd like to in the chat. Christina says he's the only one I recognize. Pretty hard not to recognize Trump, right? He's like everywhere and will be everywhere for the next few months heading up to what's going on in America. But when you look at individuals, you've got really two axes that people sit on. One is people are either more task orientated, so they like to do tasks, or they're more people orientated. So at the extreme, the people orientated types of individuals would rather be out there with a group of people than sitting behind their laptop, whereas the task orientated people would rather be ticking boxes on their to-do list than having too much to do with people. Then we've got introverts and extroverts. Now, it's not always easy to tell who's an introvert and who's an extrovert. Just because somebody has a big personality and everything like that doesn't necessarily make them an extrovert. For instance, many of you may think, I'm an extrovert, but I'm actually quite an introvert. An extrovert, the easiest way to tell is that they recharge their batteries with people. Welcome, Lundy Jack, to that one. Whereas an introvert recharges their batteries by being alone or spending quality time alone. Christina says, I'm a true introvert despite what most people think. Absolutely, Christina. Couldn't agree more with that one. So when we look at this, this gives us four very distinct broad personality styles. Now, I could go into the 13 personality styles or Enneagrams or Myers-Briggs or any of the models. But for the purpose of our call today and for all of our listeners and viewers, I want to keep this relatively simple. So an individual is either task orientated or people orientated, and they're either more likely to be introverted or more likely to be extroverted. And this gives us four different personality types. Some people call them red, yellow, green, and blue. But I love Alison Mooney, who's a good friend of mine from New Zealand's way of talking about this. So sorry, Ali, I'm stealing your stuff, but she knows I talk about this from time to time. And that is powerful people, playful people, precise people, and peaceful people. Now, the powerful person, i.e. Donald Trump, is an extrovert, but is hugely task orientated. So this is the type of person that is ticking boxes all the time and will blow through anybody or anything to get where they want to go. The playful person, Boris Johnson, bless his heart, he got us all untrapped out of lockdown because he wanted to have a few parties. So because he wanted to have parties, we all got let out of the lockdown jail. The playful person is very extroverted, but very people orientated. Then you get Andrea Merkel, who is what is we call a precise person. She's very task orientated, but she's also quite introverted. So these people are true analysts. They truly look at the world from an analytical point of view. And then you get your fourth person, Jacinda Ardern, who is very people-orientated, but actually quite introverted. Quite meek and mild, Jacinda. Tries to be powerful. That didn't work out so well for her, but also very people-orientated. Now, another way to use these type of words before we get into this, and we're going to throw this around, as you know, because I always like to do that on the calls that I'm on, is we have some with Trump, with a powerful person, they're what would typically our psychologists would call a driver. They're punching through things, they're driving, they're moving forward. That's their natural way. We are all a composite of all of these four things, but we have emphasis in one or more things that are truly our style. Whereas the playful person, they're more of the entertainer, more of the socialite. So they like to be with people, razzing it up, few drinks, et cetera, et cetera. The precise person, they are the analyst by psychological terms. They will look deep into things. And the peaceful person, they're the amiables by psychological terms. So what we're going to do is dig into this a little bit further. But before we do, let's go to the chat and let's see which one of these four things that you think that you are. So if you're on the call, if you're listening to this now, go to the chat and type in which one of these that you think that you are. So Philip says a precise. I'd say that's very, very true there. Christina says a precise. Yeah, okay, interesting. Okay. Stephanie says a precise, peaceful. Yep, I definitely agree with that. Clarissa, a precise. From what I know about you, that would be totally true. Heather, a playful. Angela, a playful, powerful. Okay, so we're getting different people with different things here. Adela, a precise and peaceful, powerful at times. Definitely in that talk you sent me last week, very powerful in that. But definitely, I find you to be quite a peaceful type of person. I'd say that would be your major one. And, you know, Lundy is a playful, powerful, and I'm a powerful, peaceful. So I've got a bit of play in me, but I'm a powerful, peaceful. I'm like an odd juxtaposition. So it's sort of like having a very playful, precise person. It's quite unusual. So, okay, great. We've got some feedback there. Let's dig into the powerful. Here's Tony Robbins. He's definitely got a powerful type of personality. These people, their number one thing they do, and I fit into this category, is we love to be decisive. We like making decisions. We like having options. We like making decisions. Our number one thing that's the most important to us is we want to save time. So whenever you're working with these people, you have to allow them to make decisions and you have to allow them to save time. Moira, hi and welcome to the call. You say you're a precise. Yeah, I'd say that's fairly true too. You've got to give these people when you're working with them options. If you don't give them options, if you've just got one path you want to take them down, you'll often find that they don't like to be sort of put into a corner. So they just won't buy from you. They just won't want to deal with you because there's no options here. I feel like I'm constricted. Don't be rhetorical with them. So, in other words, don't set them up to ask questions where there's leading answers and things like that. These people pick that in an instant and they really dislike it. And don't rave onto them and go into heaps of detail. Why? Because these people want to save time. Just get to the point. Why are you there? What have you got to offer? How's it going to benefit me? And what are my options? That's what we want to know, these powerful people. And these people demand action, right? So don't disappear and do nothing. Don't not close the loop. So, you know, when you're working for these powerful people, Chris, because you're on the call, that's why you've got to give constant feedback because we go like all the time. It can be 5 minutes after we've given an instruction. We're like, what's happening? Why hasn't anything happened? Etc. So this is what you're dealing with when you're dealing with these type of people. Now, interestingly, this may either really empower you or disempower you. So you look, if you look at the juxtaposition Going back one slide, let's just go back a slide if we can. Oops, back two slides. There we go. If we look at this, the juxtaposition to the powerful is the peaceful. So for those of you that are on the call today and are listening in, who are the more identify with being more peacefuls, sometimes that powerful person is really going to rattle your cage because they want things done now. They're autocratic in their nature. They don't mess around. They can be sort of like in your face and things like that. To a peaceful, that's very difficult. So on and so forth is that for a powerful, a peaceful can also be very difficult as well. And for a precise, a playful can be difficult. For a playful, a precise can be difficult. So now that we're looking at that, let's move on. So you, if you're a peaceful, you may have trouble dealing with powerfuls. But here are the tips. Take screenshots if you want to, of how to deal with these people. And I'm going to show you how to recognize these people as well. Now, let's have a look at our next one, the playful person. Here we go. Here's Paris Hilton, right? The ultimate socialite. And she's highly extroverted. These days, she's an amazing businesswoman. As a DJ, her fee for DJing is $1 million if you want her to DJ. And she's really good. I've watched some of her videos. Lundy and I watched a documentary about her on Netflix. And an amazing brain that came from a place where most people thought she was very dumb, but those people were totally wrong. So as a playful, these people have high values on social interaction. They love to dream. A playful person loves to dream big. If you talk to Lundy, she's got big dreams. She sees the world in a big way. She doesn't see the micro. She only sees the macro. They have big ideas as well. Lundy often says to people, Mike wants to save the world, whereas I want to take over the world, right? So it's those type of ideas that float through these people's mind. These people need to have social time. I definitely cannot say to Lundy, let's just chill on the weekend and lie on the couch, right? Occasionally she likes to do that, but if I try that more than, you know, once or twice in a row, she needs social time. She needs people. She needs to be out connecting with people. That's what you have to do with these people. So you don't try and conform them. These people are like juggling jelly. You cannot put them in a box. You cannot hold on to them. They have their own agendas, okay? They're going to do their own thing. So don't give them rules or regulations. If you give these playful social people rules or regulations, guess what? They're going to break them just because they can. And these people have a network. So, you know, they want to be out there with their network. They want to introduce you to their network. They're going to connect you. So that's the overview of these playful people. So how do you support these people? You have to be social. If you want to sell them, don't sort of try and do it in a really cold clinical way. Get them out to a five-star hotel, get them a glass of wine. You're going to get more money out of them, okay? Get them around people. Ask them to introduce you to people. These people are great referrers, so they will refer you, okay, if they believe in you and if they think you've done a good job. When you're working with them, make sure that you don't knock down their ideas. Make sure you support their ideas. You might have to move them left slightly or right slightly to fit in, but don't knock them down. If you do that, you're going to be in a bit of trouble because they're not going to buy from you. I'm interested to see if any of you have any comments or anything you'd like to put in the chat about our first people, which is our powerful people. Let's just get back to them. Or our second people, our playful people. If there's anything you'd like to share or anything personally before we move on, just to either throw a hand up or let's have a look in the chat and see in the chat if you've got anything. Otherwise, I'm going to move straight forward. Hi to Corbis, who's joined the call. Sam, I saw, come on. And somebody else who I don't know who you are because your name's not in there. So cool. Welcome. Let's move on to our third one, our peaceful people. These are our relationship people. Now, you may look at this and go, is Oprah a peaceful or a powerful? She's a peaceful person first and a powerful second. Okay. She's very relationship orientated. She couldn't have survived in that type of show, dealing with the things that she dealt with, if she wasn't very heart-centered and relationship building. It's very tough for somebody like, could you imagine Donald Trump running the type of show that Oprah did? It'd just be a mess, right? He's just not that connected to his heart. Whereas somebody like Oprah definitely is connected to a heart. Could you imagine Andrea Merkel, Chancellor of Germany, running that type of show? It's not going to work, okay? So those people can run shows. Trump ran The Apprentice. It was a great show. There's no doubt about that. Andrea Merkel could run a business show. There would be no doubt about that. But a show that's very heart-centered, you have to be a peaceful type of person to do that. These people put relationships first, okay? So relationships are incredibly important to them. So often when you meet these people, the first thing that they talk to you about are relationships. You have to take longer to build a relationship with these people. You can't just jam straight into business. They're not going to like that at all. They're going to push back. They're going to find you to be overbearing, pushy, all of those things. They'll have a genuine interest in you, which is great. And they expect you to have a genuine interest in them as well. So you can't rush them at all. Things will happen on their time. You can give them deadlines and things like that. But if you start to rush them first up, you're going to get pushback. You're going to get them avoiding you. You're going to get ghosts. These people are the ghosters, okay? Because when they feel uncomfortable, they'll naturally ghost. So they're not going to tell you to bugger off, because that's what the powerfuls will do. They're not going to just go and focus on socializing with you, because that'll be more fun. That's what the playfuls are going to do. These people will just disappear and you won't know where they're going. These people need some constant reaffirmation that they're on the right track, that their ideas are good, that they're heading in the right direction, that they can do things at their own pace, that, you know, it's not going to be too overwhelming for them. Now, these people are very culturally sensitive. They're very nostalgic, and they desire intimacy. You know, these are the type of people. There's a lot of these people in New Zealand where, you know, I come from. So, and we always laugh when I do these type of workshops and I talk about them, because I have a lot in the audience. And I say, I ask them things like, who here just couldn't get their head around when they changed the All Black jersey, which was probably 10 years ago now? And you just see a show of hands in the room, and people will just get into discussions about, you know, I just couldn't get my head around it, and it looked so bad and everything like this. Whereas powerful people just go, we need to change. Let's just do it. Okay. But these people are so nostalgic that any of these changes are just really tough for them. So you have to nurture them quite well. Let me just go to the chat and see what everybody's saying in the chat. And then I'll move into our fourth one here that we're going to talk about today, which of course is the precise. So Moira says early conditioning has a huge impact. That's true, but this is also about what you naturally are, Moira, not what you've been led to become. So I don't know if I can help it. I just have it built into me that I'm more a naturally powerful person. I'm trying to become a more peaceful person. So Moira says, I'm actually a closet powerful playful. And this is the thing that you have to identify in yourself. I cannot just sit back when I see things like injustice and not do things about it. I cannot be on a board meeting and just watch everybody talk even and not have an opinion. That's the powerful in me. That's my natural style. But as I get older, I try and be more peaceful, more relational and things like that. This is more learned behavior for me. Philip says, I can see the challenge for precise working with powerful in terms of speed in arriving at a decision. How true, Philip, but what you can do with a precise, because they love facts and they love data, is you can give them timelines and timeframes to come to a decision. And that works very, very well. For me, I don't have a problem working with Powerfuls at all, but I mean, or with Precises at all. But when I was in my 20s, I had a real problem working with Peacefuls. You know, I was financial planning at the time, and you know, you get people into your office and they'd want to talk about the photo on your desk, or they'd want to talk about, show you pictures of their dog and things like this. And I mean, can we just get down to business, right? We're here to do business. So I, in the end, the only way I could deal with that, because was actually just to, as soon as I identified somebody was peaceful, I'd just refer them on to somebody else in my office and let them deal with them, because I just didn't have the time. So still in my life, I never have the time, but, and that's just what Powerfuls do. Time is their greatest thing. But as those of you that are on the call know, that are peacefuls, you know, I can actually be quite peaceful as well. And I love the testimonial that Dr. Samantha from Western Australia gave me once. I don't know if you know her, Christine. And it's on our testimonial reel on YouTube, where she says, I was really scared of Mike at first because she's a peaceful, and I was just too overbearing for her. But you know, I've even toned it down since she joined us. So that's cool, Philip. Thanks for that comment. Angela says, playfuls have a willful dissidence if rules are unjust or cause unnecessary turmoil. Yes, I agree, but playfuls also just don't like rules, full stop, period, right? You know, they like to push the boundary on a rule. The playful is the person that you say, we need to be at that party at 8 o'clock, and at 5 to 8, they'll still be getting dressed. That's not Lundy, by the way. She's amazing with that stuff, but I know a lot of playfuls that are like that. Heather says she relates to that. Moira says, mistake, I'm peaceful with a closet playful. There you go. You were still like that when I met you, very dismissive, I'd say, rather than dominating. I'm still dismissive, right? You know, you can take the boy out of wherever, but you can't take wherever out of the boy. Let's have a look at the precises. Okay, so our precises here, and I've illustrated Warren Buffett as just a textbook precise person. And he's a lovely man, right? These people want facts and figures. They're detail orientated. They love detail. They want to go through stuff. They want to look at the detail. You know, they're re very resistible to hype. They do not like hype. They will like be sitting on watching anybody doing hype, and they'll be internally going like that, right? They just don't like it. If you give them any BS at all, if you fudge this piece of statistic or data, they will find you out, and you will never, ever have their trust again. Their trust will be gone straight away. They need proof. They're going to take time to decide. And of course, they're going to be clear and concise in what they say to you, but it's going to be detailed. Sometimes you're going to get emails from these people, and you're just going to go, oh, do I really have to read all this? Okay, that's their nature. So the interesting thing is, can you groom all of these people, or should you just be trying to deal with people who are just like you? The answer is you can groom all of these people, but you are going to have natural people that you warm to. I remember going to a sales call in my financial planning days with a very new financial planner, and he asked me to come along. He said he was scared of this guy because the guy was overbearing. And I went in, we shook hands with this guy, and we sat down at his desk, and he was a powerful. And he started, and he said, you guys don't realize how busy I am. You can't keep making appointments with me. You know, this guy came in first. I'm interested in what you do, but I need to get to a point and decision and everything like this. And I just put up my hand, and he looked at me, and he said, what? I said, you're telling me how much you want to save time, but you're just raving on like a lunatic. Why don't we just get to the point? And by the way, can I have a coffee? And he goes, I like you. You're good. Get such and such a coffee, he yelled out to his secretary, and on we got to it. And we actually walked out of there with some really big deals. So you have to match and mirror the people that you're dealing with. I'm going to stop the presentation now. I'm going to go into quite a bit more on each of these, and then we've got a fun exercise. But I really want to throw it over to you guys at the moment. I'm going to go to the chat because I see something in the chat. Yeah, but you know it doesn't work for you being dismissive. Actually, it does sometimes. Everything has its place, Moira, but not dismissive with people, dismissive with pains in the bum. So I'm interested to hear from anybody on this call. Hi, Steve. Welcome to the call. What this is saying to you at the moment and anything that you're picking up that's useful for yourself at the moment. Feel free to raise your hand and I'll invite you in. And Chris, you can be part of this as well if you want to be. Any comments, any insights, anything that this is triggering for you? Oh, hi, Renk. I see you there. It's lovely to see you. Oh, you must be the person with the really long address there. It's great to have you on our call. For those of you that don't know, Renk was one of our original Circle of Excellence members. My guess is it was in the first 20 Circle of Excellence members that joined us in 2011. In Cape Town, I believe it was, or might have been Johannesburg. I can't remember which. So throwing it over to you, we've got no feedback whatsoever. Everybody's happy for me to continue. So that's exactly what we're going to do. You can feel free to put something in the chat. Oh, hang on. We've got somebody here. Who was that? I saw a little sign in the chat that said me. Christina, go.
Sorry, I couldn't find the little hand signal to put it up. I'm just curious. Going through them, a little bit of all of them felt like I could relate to them, but when it came to the precise, I could relate to every single point. So is it possible to be dominant in one area but have a little bit of all the others?
We'll all be, if you took 100%, you're rarely going to find a person who's 25% in each of the four quadrants. You're probably going to find a person who's 45 or 50% in one quadrant, which is what you're resonating with. And that's what makes you dominant in that area. But you'll have aspects of all of the others. It's very interesting that when people get under extreme pressure, they go to the diagonal opposite. So the powerful people will become very, very relationship orientated when they're under extreme pressure. They will just build relationship. The playful people will become incredibly precise. I know I've seen Landit a couple of times where she goes intimately through every detail of a contract that we're doing. Whereas I'm just like, yeah, it looks good. Let's just go with it. She'll go through every detail of it. So, and same, the precisives of you on the call, when you get under immense pressure, you're probably going to throw your toys out of your cot, grab a few friends and go and get drunk, right? That's what happens. You become immensely playful. You'll be the ones dancing on the bar. And the relational people, they'll just go, that's enough. I've had enough. You're going to do this. You're going to do that. And they'll become incredibly powerful and dictatorial. So, yes, Christine, we're going to have a bit of everything in all of us. Okay, I saw Adila there in the chat. It truly is most useful to have this insight, especially to not only know that different types, but to match and mirror them to build rapport. Look, honestly, what I'm going to share with you next is how to try and identify them very quickly. Because when you can identify them very quickly in the first minute or so of meeting them, then you can match and mirror them. And that means you're going to build a bridge to them. And so often when you don't do this stuff, you find, okay, I've got this big deal. This is the deal of a lifetime sitting in front of me and I can't reach them. I can't connect. This is the stuff that's going to get you connected. Steve says, using these techniques in sport a lot. I'd be fascinated for you to give an insight on that, Steve. Fascinated by the personality profiling, all with roots in the I Ching, 100% right. This is 100% from the I Ching. And the key is in team dynamics. We're going to talk about that a little bit more. Steve, I'm interested in a comment about how you use these techniques in sport. And you're on mute. There you go.
Sure. Hi, Mike. Hi, everyone. So I think what I found to be very interesting is that within a team context, you've got all of these kind of this mixing pot of like different personality profiles. And different people come to the fore at different times in a game, right? Because sport is like a mirror of business, but just over very much like an intense period. And you're never going to be on top for the whole game. You're always going to be kind of going through these like waves of, you know, when you're in control and when you're dominating and when you're on the other end of that spectrum. And I think obviously it's when when things are not going so well, both in business and in sport, when you really find the true characters, and that's where you need your leadership. So I use it a lot for distributed leadership models. So you want to empower your relational type people to be able to step up into solving problems before they become big problems. Or you want your people that have, strategic analytical kind of thinking to be able to make a call in real time, more rather than waiting for your coach to change the tactic because it's not working, and so on and so forth. So yeah, there's a lot to share on that front.
Great insights. And it's very interesting because when you look at that, because I love how you say this, I've heard it come from you a few times, that sport is like a compressed business, right? I love that saying, and you're very true, right, with that. By the way, we met somebody you'd know, Garrett, up in Joburg last week, who's very involved in hockey, South Africa, as you know, and he said to say hi to you.
Thank you.
And it's interesting for me when you look at who a coach will choose to be the on-field captain of a side. So if you look at Siya Kolisi, the captain of the Springboks, he's obviously a peaceful, right? He's obviously incredibly relational. And even if you watch the documentaries that are currently out in South Africa on the Springboks, you can see that he's very relational. But if you go to New Zealand and you look at, say, Richie McCaw, who's the best All Blacks captain of all time, an incredible precise, right? So it's fascinating when you see coaches pull those players off and then get somebody else to lead on the field who has a different style for that point in the game. And I find that fascinating, Steve. And maybe that's something, as we're watching sport now, we can actually see who's directing that. Like, I watch a lot of cricket, and, you know, obviously you've got the captain on the cricket team, but then you'll see a very powerful bowler. I'm watching the IPL at the moment, and you know, there's Bumrah, who's probably one of the best bowlers in the world at the moment. He's obviously a powerful. No captain tells him where to set his field. He sets his field, right? So it's very interesting to see how that turns up in sport. Thanks, Steve, for that. Really good insights. Adila says, in learning this, how do you handle this in a group format? What a great question. You handle this in a group format by understanding that the people that are putting their hand up and giving input all the time are most likely to be the powerfuls and the playfuls, right? Particularly the powerful. They want to stamp their mark. They want everybody to know how good they are, et cetera, et cetera. They're not often the smartest people in the group. Sorry about that, Mike and Trump, but they're not often the smartest people in the group. It can be the really peaceful people who just say nothing, who sit back and watch, or the precises who literally sit back and take notes, who are the smartest people. So it's very good to identify that so you can bring those people into discussions. And you often find when you entice those people into discussions, they often have the best insights of everybody. So that's really useful. Thank you, Moira, for that. In teams, great for distributed leadership models, strengths-based approach. We've talked about Steve. It was in Joburg, Rink says. Can only chat, by the way. Yep, so no problem at all. The crux of theatre, where people go when under big pressure. Yeah, absolutely, Moira. Can we look at what we contribute to team? Moira, feel free to just expand on that a little bit more if you're comfortable with. I don't really understand the question, so just unmute and let me know what you mean.
Aha. Sorry, here I am.
There you are. Hello.
Here I am. Hello. Maybe I can answer my own question anyway. I don't know. It's just observing people to see how they create trouble in a group and then how they move the group forward that interests me. And it's good for me to see that with other people, but sometimes I can't see it for myself.
I think it's a really good point. And, you know, often you're in a group, if you're in a team working with people, you'll see a powerful person try and take charge, try and direct the team, tell everybody else everybody's wrong. And I've done it myself a few times. I can't help it. I do it on boards all the time. I listen, I bite my tongue, and I go, that's it. Now I've got to say something, right? So you do get that person. Then you get the playful person. They try and hijack the board, you know, and mm-hmm. they try and distract them. They're big distractors in teams. Like, let's go to the pub and talk about this and all of that sort of thing. The relationship people, the peaceful people, they're always trying to be the peacemakers. And sometimes in teams, it's not wise to just have peace all the time. Disruption is a good thing in teams. So it's not always good for everybody to get on. And then you've got the precise people. They'll wait to that one moment. Then they'll put up their hand. You know, I've been on a board for 3 years with one, Dr. John Molador, somebody, some of you may know him. And John's he's a sweetheart, right? But he's a doctor in psychology, which doesn't also help. He'll put up his hand and he'll go, Clause 17.3 of the governance of the body says this. What you all have been talking about is outside that. We're all going, Clause 17.3, how does he know this stuff, right? You know, and we've all got to go and look at it. And so they disrupt by being factually correct, but it may not have any use to the overall thing. So what you've got to try and do as a team leader or working in a team is you've got to try and keep the balance here. Mm-hmm. And all good teams are balanced. So with the powerfuls, you've got to say to them, okay, thanks for saying that, Mike, but let's give somebody else an opportunity to bring something else up, right? And then you'll deflect to somebody else. With the playfuls, you might say, I think it's a great idea that we have this fun and joy and all draw pictures of elephants on the paper, but let's just solve this point first. For the peacefuls, you say, I'd like to see where this goes a little bit more before we try and bring everybody together on it. You know, it's those mm-hmm. type of things. And with the precises, you might say, you're factually correct, but we're talking about the greater context here. So let's talk about the context and bring in the facts later. Yes, Moira.
Oh, there's my question. Here's my real question is about people who are precise and whatever your word is for relational.
Yeah.
What's that word?
Peaceful.
Peaceful. Because people can be peaceful. Like, I'm very relational, but I'm actually not that peaceful. I wind people up a lot and I do it deliberately. But peaceful can be peaceful and precise. And you're saying precise is about the facts, but people can be about having it accurate and relational.
Absolutely.
Do you agree? And the precision can be around what's being observed, like dynamics rather than facts.
Well, wouldn't it be great if every team worked by having brilliant relationships,
yes.
precise facts and data in the team, a bit of yes. fun, and somebody strong to lead it? That's
okay,
the ultimate, right?
Okay. In that case, I'm not any of them. I'm that one. I'm the idealist. I've got it.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. Absolutely
right. We're all hopefully idealists, and that's why we're here and not and not, you know, working in 9-to-5 jobs. Hello, Shazar. Lovely to have you on the call. I'm going to head back to the presentation now, just because I don't want to run over. So let's just wait. You can see the screen now. Go. Now what I want to talk to you about, now that we've looked at powerful, playful, peaceful and precise, I want you to show you how to recognize powerful easily. Now, if you have a look at the photo firstly, and for those of you that are listening to this on audio, I'll just explain it. When you shake a powerful's hand, they will always try and roll your hand over and be on top. It's instinctive in them. I don't do it because I've learned otherwise. I possibly did it in my early 20s. But the powerful will have a strong grip, but they'll sort of always try and be on top. If somebody's going for the top place, you already know they're powerful, even if they're saying something totally different, right? Their body can't help but give it away. With a powerful, everything has its place. So if you're meeting them in an office, they will basically have very few things out. What will be there will be in its place. It'll almost be austere, right? If you're meeting them in a cafe, it'll probably be their cafe. You know, not to meet in cafes, but it'll probably be their cafe, and they will have their table that they like to meet in. And, you know, that's who they are. They'll have a very forceful handshake with palm down. They're extremely time conscious. They'll probably tell you straight up front, I've only got 23 minutes for this, you know, they're that sort of thing. many of you have come to events with me, and you'll notice that I say things like, for the next 7 minutes and 40 seconds, we're going to be discussing this. That's because I am totally time orientated. You will notice, for those of you that have been to many events with me, I'm rarely, if ever, over time. The breaks always happen when they're meant to happen, etc. And you'll also notice from Lundy, she's constantly saying, Mike's waving at me that I'm over time, so I need to bring this to a close, right? Because playfuls have no concept of time, right? That's not what they're about. So we're very time conscious, the powerfuls, and they like to set the rules and the pace. So when you meet with them, they'll say, I've got half an hour for this meeting. I want to cover this and this and this. Let's get to it. They're that type of person. So by you identifying that straight away, it's really going to help you with some of those tips to identify who's a powerful. Then you can start to match and mirror them. And for some of you, that'll feel uncomfortable, but once you've done it enough, it'll become second nature. Let's have a look at the playfuls. These people are probably not going to shake your hand. They're probably just going to reach out and give you a big fat hug and slap you on the back, right? They're going to be laughing. They're probably going to tell, you know, jokes. These are the type of people that tell really embarrassing jokes at the wrong time. Lundy doesn't do that, but a lot of playfuls do. They're going to recommend social settings to meet in. They're not going to want to meet in offices or anything like that. They're going to want to meet in bars, restaurants, cafes, clubs, wherever. These people are relatively flamboyant. So often they're, you know, most people would look at me and think, first thing, they think I'm a playful, powerful because of the way I dress. But a lot of playfuls dress flamboyantly. You know, Angela Norman, you know, you're a flamboyant dresser. So that's part of your playful nature. Lots of laughter and smiles with these people. They love to laugh. They love to smile. They love things to be light. You know, it's all part of big dreams, great world, optimum way of seeing the world. So they'll tell lots of stories and tell lots of jokes. And they'll have big gestures, right? They'll be out here with their gestures. They're often loud. So, you know, I was laughing. We were at a market on Sunday with some friends of ours. They're Kiwis, but they live in Australia. And they're over in Africa at the moment. And the guy and I went to the bathrooms, and as we were coming out, he was looking weird. And I said, yes, that's Landy's voice you can hear over the market, right? And he goes, that's really crazy. I go, yep, I can tell where she is in any crowded space just because she speaks a little bit louder than other people. If she's on the phone, when she's on a coaching call to any one of you guys, it's, you know, she's got to be in another room because that's the nature of a playful person, right? Whereas, and it can be the nature of a powerful person as well, whereas you'll see people who are peaceful, sometimes they speak like this and you've got to lean in to hear them. Let's look at our next one, the peaceful. These people are friendly. You know, when they look at this handshake, they'll often just take your hand in two hands because they're really happy to see you. They don't want to step over the mark and, you know, kiss you on both cheeks and slap you on the back. That's a playful type of thing. These people will welcome you. They'll say, oh, it's so good to see you. Then they're going to launch into something relational. It's going to be about the family, the cat. You know, they painted their fence on the weekend. How was your weekend? We did this. And it's going to be quite long. They're going to have an office with lots of photos in it. It's going to be lots of family around their desk. If you happen to go to their office, you're going to see lots of family on their phone. They're going to have family type of photos. You know, the powerful people are just as likely to have their awards sitting on their phone screensaver. But, you know, these people are definitely going to have family photos. They're going to exhibit loyalty in some way. They're going to talk to you about how long they've been a supporter of this football team or that team, or, you know, what school they went to and how much they love being an alumni of that primary school or secondary school or high school or whatever. These people will naturally dress a little bit more for comfort rather than for style. So the powerful people, they're generally going to dress for power. The playful people are going to dress to be seen. These people are going to dress a little bit more for comfort. Okay. So they're going to put that first. These are some good ways of recognizing these people, firstly. And they're going to want to build relationships. They're going to be have good eye contact, and they're going to ask questions. They're going to be very quiet when you speak. So they're not going to butt in. So just have that awareness. Let's look at our fourth one. our precise. This is how you recognize them. Look at the handshake. Sometimes precises are so introverted that they offer that sort of just offer their hand. They're just like, just get this handshake over and done with. I really don't want to touch you, right? So they're quiet and sometimes quite staid. And, you know, for those of you that don't know what staid means, it means they don't move a lot. They don't give a lot of reaction. They don't interact a lot. They will ask data points. So if you're talking about your product or service, they'll ask for, like, how many people have used this before? What percentage of people do you think get that type of result? Do you have any data on that? They'll ask that type of thing. Lots, you'll notice their office or their world, they'll have lots of graphs and charts around them. Lots of big textbooks, that sort of thing in their office. Lots of reading material. That's generally the thing. They can be relatively slow and steady. Slow and steady wins the race as far as I'm concerned. And they can be a little bit messy as well. So Moira says limp fish handshake. Yeah, well, I didn't want to be that rude. I found a photo of a fish with somebody shaking their hand. That's not really what I mean, but it's because that sort of says that the person has got no substance. These people have got a lot of substance. They're just not very touchy and feely. That's just not who they are. So from that aspect, here are 5 or 6 points that help you recognize them. A little bit messy. They can be, you know, a little bit wild in the way they look too. Often they look a bit Einstein. Einsteins are precise, right? Lots of charts, lots of books around them, but slow and steady, lots of data points, and can be very quiet, but don't underestimate them. Okay, so there's some ways of recognizing people. So now there's going to be a test. So I want you to go to the chat. I see a couple of things in the chat. So let's jump in here. Rink says, which just reminded me of the fish slapping dance by Monty Python. That sounds exactly like something you'd love, Rink. Heather says, definitely have to moderate speech speed when dealing with the precises. Absolutely, particularly for me who talks super fast all the time. So now we have a test. There's going to be a test coming up. Here's the test. Let's have a look firstly at the Beatles. So can you tell me, because they're 4 very distinct personality types, who was who in the Beatles? As you're thinking about that, this is what you need to know about the 4 personality types. Firstly, you've got to decide who you can work with and who you can get results for. I believe these days I can get results for all 4 personality types, but back when I was financial planning, I realized that I was definitely okay with three of the four. The 4th one I avoided. By understanding this, it makes it easier for you to match and mirror, therefore building rapport with people, because it's not important who you are. It's really important who they are. When you're dealing with any sort of client, when you're building a business, strategic partner, alliance, you know, supplier, it's not important who you are. It's important who they are. Just because they supply you, don't expect them to be as emotionally advanced as you. So you've got to take the upper hand. Great teams are diversified, and we talked about that. And it's really fun to understand others. So let's see. Let's go to the chat here. What sort of personality was Ringo Starr? What personality was Ringo Starr? Let's see what people are saying. Precise, powerful. Oh, Stephanie, all of them, right? Okay. Let me ask another question then. Which one was Paul McCartney? And by the way, I'm not thumb-sucking this. There's been deep studies into this. In fact, a good friend of mine, Mike Southern from the UK, who's a good friend of Pete Best, who is the original member of the Beatles, did a complete basically doctorate on the personality profiles of the Beatles. So, right. So I can see we're all over the place here. So let me give them to you. The precise in the Beatles is George Harrison. The way he wrote songs, the way he was always in the background, He was the precise. John Lennon was the playful. Look at his, you know, his stage persona, his whole Yoko and John thing, right, that he went through, his public opinions on everything. So I don't know their names, hence from left to right. Okay, I'll give you their names. John Lennon is on the far right. Stephanie, George Harrison is next to him. Paul McCartney is second from the left. He is the ultimate powerful. You know, it's one of the reasons the Beatles broke up was because Paul McCartney wanted to pull too many of the strings. And that leaves Ringo Starr, the peaceful. You know, even when Paul said, "You're not drumming well enough, I'm going to play the drums on this song." So a lot of the Beatles recordings are not Ringo playing drums, they're Paul playing drums. Ringo just took a back seat and never said anything, okay, because he's a peaceful. And yet, by having these four very distinct personalities in this, and Lundy and I went a step deeper with the Beatles, we actually looked at all of their star signs, their Western and Eastern star signs, and their elements as well. And we went, elementally, they can't work until you add one person to their mix, and that was their manager. And his elements complete the Beatles, and you could say they were the perfect storm. And one of the reasons they became what they became, obviously they were incredibly talented, but is not so much that, but is because personality-wise and elementally, they were the perfect storm. So now I have the ultimate test for you. Here we go. I'm going to give you some of the world's best-known leaders, and I've tried to make them from different countries. Obviously, I could have done all American presidents, but I didn't want all men, right? So we're still waiting for that one. So let's go with JFK. So let's go to the chat and see, what do you think JFK is? Is he a powerful, a peaceful, a playful, or a precise? Christina Ben says a playful. Clarissa says a powerful. Got another playful from Renk. Other people are not playing the game. Doesn't matter. Powerful. Sam, great to see you on the call. Always lovely to see you here. Peaceful. So we get spreading it around. JFK is a playful. So many parties, so many social events. Him and Marilyn Monroe, you know, hello. Steve, lovely to see you on the call. Great to see you as always. Let's go to the next one. We might just get a couple of takers on this one. This is Helen Clark, previous Prime Minister of New Zealand. So I'm going to rely on Philip and on Moira to guide this one. What was Helen Clark? So can we get a powerful? Very interesting. Yep, very interesting. What else was Helen Clark? Does Philip have anything? A peaceful? Okay. Helen Clark is actually a precise. Step by step. She came across as a powerful. It's her backup. But every bit of her policy was tick box, properly done, no holds barred. Everything was done by the book. I met Helen Clark a couple of times. She's very introverted. Remember that a powerful is not introverted. They're quite extroverted. So let's go to Barack Obama. What is Obama? Let's see if we can get those ones out. The next two should be... I'm not going to say what you said there, Christina, but, you know, it's very funny, that's for sure. Powerful or powerful? Shazar's laughing. You know, we can say this is why I didn't put Trump up and said, what is Trump? Because I would have got some great, great answers there. Or Joe Biden, you notice that I didn't put that. I love what was said recently. Somebody, reporter said to Joe Biden, are you going to debate Donald Trump in the presidential elections? He wants to debate you. Biden's answer was, if I was him, I'd want to debate me as well. Okay, let's see what Obama is. He is very much a peaceful. Okay. He's very relational, Barack Obama, but he's quite introverted. And he liked to hold those nice parties. So let's look at Nelson Mandela. Let's get a couple in for Nelson Mandela. Let's see how good you guys are with this. And, you know, just try and remember the person, what sort of personality profile was Mandela. We've got four more to go, but it's a fun way to end our call. Peacefuls, Clarissa says, oh, you can tell the South Africans here, you know, Nelson Mandela is a peaceful, right? He was a relationship builder of note. He was always incredibly interested in people. And that's a real trigger for a peaceful person, is to be genuinely interested in people. Obama was the same, whether it was kids or whether it was, you know, when he had people who had won awards into the White House, always very interested in them. Let's go down to Margaret Thatcher. Now, this one should be standout. Nobody should get Margaret Thatcher wrong. Okay, we've got powerfuls coming in, powerfuls coming in. Have we got anything else bar powerful, a powerful, a powerful? Oh, very nice. She is definitely a powerful. Well done, folks. Right? Some people just stand out. Thanks, Adela. Let's go to Ronald Reagan now. Ronald Reagan, from movie star to the White House, and arguably one of the best speakers ever. Christina says a peaceful. Okay, what else we've got? A playful, says Stephanie. Shazar says a playful. I've got more playfuls coming in. Moira says a playful. Yep, okay, let's have a look here. He's a peaceful. A little bit more introverted than what you would actually believe. So he's sort of a bit like me in that respect, is outwardly a lot of people think he's extroverted, but he's actually quite introverted. Let's go to George W. Bush. Quite an old man now, if you have a look at his photos. So I didn't use one of those. You may not recognize him. So president of the US from 2001 to 2008, or 2000 to 2008. Well known for being at the kindergarten when the Twin Towers fell down. What is George Bush? Come on, folks, don't be shy. It's only a game here. Doesn't matter if you're wrong. Let's have a look here. No one's prepared to play on George Bush. Well, I'll tell you then. Oh, precise, precise, precise. No, have a think about him. Christina, you're good at this. He's a playful. He's a playful. You know, if you watch interviews with George W. Bush, he freaking loved being president of the US. He didn't care whether there was disasters or this and that and the other. He just loved being the chief of the world, right? He totally amped up. He was out there leading from the front, dressing in his military garb, etc. He is a total playful. Our last one's a little bit obscure, so we'll see how you go on this. This is Theresa May, Prime Minister of the UK for around about 8 years as well, about 20 years ago now, because time goes fast. But would anybody like to guess? And I'll give you a hint. I had to find a leader now, you know, who I had to sort of make sure they weren't all peacefuls, because a lot of leaders are peacefuls because they're relationship builders. Christina says, never heard of her, but you're guessing, playing the game. Thank you, Christina. You're lovely for playing the game with me. She is a peaceful. If you read anything about Theresa May, they will say that she's a tremendous relationship builder, that she was incredibly introverted, and her family were very dear to her. So there we have it, folks. And I wanted to illustrate this as a place to end by just leaving this slide up, because even though these are the leaders in our countries, and many of them very good leaders as well, they are all come from all different types of personalities. So with that, we're right on the hour today. Hopefully you've got some great insights into dealing with different people differently, being able to recognize them very clearly. And I wish you all the best. Thanks so much for being on our call today. It's been fun getting your input and learning some new things as well, and being reminded of these things if you've seen them before. I'll be back in a few weeks, and until then, I'll catch you later. Have a great day.